Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
So when you want to reparent yourself, how you talk to yourself is huge. That inner voice. You might have had a parent that called you all kind of names, put you down. And so one of the ways that you reparent yourself is changing that inner voice, changing that dialogue. You know, I'm worthy of healthy relationships. I'm worthy of not being disrespected. Not being put down. That is not okay. That was not healthy.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree. I'm the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, rest, joy, abundance, all the juicy parts of life for Black women. You know, I've been talking about reparenting and child or inner child healing and boundaries and all that stuff. But as I've always said from the get-go, I can only speak to you from my perspective. I am not a therapist. I am not an expert. I am not a professional. So today I am in conversation with an actual therapist. Okay. And we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of inner child work, healing, boundaries, dysfunctional families, because I know a lot of you in this audience have dealt with that. I see your emails and questions and things like that. So let me go ahead and say hey to Ricky Clark McCoy. Again, she's a therapist. She's the founder of Flourishing Minds, where she embraces like this holistic approach to like therapy. And so we're going to jump right in. But first, hey, Ricky, what's going on?
Hello. Hello. How are you doing? Thank you for having me today.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Let us know a little bit more about you and actually also where you are.
Yes. So I am currently in Atlanta, Georgia. I have a practice here, Flourishing Minds, where I provide holistic therapy for the community, for my people, for my clients. And what that really means is I'm really big on learning. We can do talk therapy all day, that's great, but like, how can we learn how to move emotions through the body, right? Like, what other holistic modalities can we use to heal ourselves? And so I'm real big on yoga, meditation, breath work, all of those things so that we really move these emotions out and feel like our full selves.
Yeah, that's definitely so important. I feel like this type of conversation is always timely for Black women because we not only have our own stuff going on, but we also exist in structures and systems that heavily contribute to what we experienced as not only obviously child, but also just as adults. I feel like Black women, we just do not make it out unscathed in some capacity. What do you think about that?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's so important that we as Black women really learn self-care, right? I'm really enjoying like teaching self-care, teaching boundaries, teaching how we can take our power back, because it's something that a lot of us didn't learn growing up.
Yeah, I know that I didn't. And I feel like my story could be repeated almost verbatim by a lot of Black women. It's like you're having these conversations and someone's telling you their story and you're like, wait a minute, that sounds like me. Yep. You know what I mean? And it's so sad.
Very sad, very sad. And we feel very like almost glued to it, right? And so as you're working to change the narrative, I like to remind people like you can change your story. Mm-hmm. You have the power to change your story. This is your life. And it's okay to live for yourself, not for other people.
Yeah. I love that you said that, like having the power to change your story. That's something that I feel like I'm in that process right now of doing that. And it's taken years because the story is so ingrained, you know? And so what would you say to the Black woman who's like me? Because there's a lot of us out there that we feel like we're so attached to that story because that's all we know.
Absolutely. Take it day by day. Take your power back. Really remember who you were before you were all of the things, right? I think a lot of times as Black women, we get caught up in our roles, right? Whether that's at work or, as a wife, as a mom. I mean, we feel really connected to those roles. But who are you before those roles? What makes you smile? What brings you joy? I talk to so many women that have lost who they are. And they don't know the answer to these questions when I'm asking. So connect back with yourself, your inner child, which we'll be talking about, right? Who were you before you were all the things? And get back to her.
I know. I can imagine because I know it was hard for me. You know, I can imagine why that would be hard because you're like, well, who the hell am I? Who was I? And then even going back, and let's talk about the inner child because again, just kind of using myself as an example, when you think about like who was I before, for example, the roles, or even who was I before the trauma. You know what I
Yes.
mean? That is almost, it feels almost impossible sometimes, especially if it's been like ongoing since as long as you can remember.
Yes. And a lot of this stuff we're learning, whether it's from our parents, our environment or society has put these standards on us, right? And so who are you before we started believing all of that stuff? And if we didn't, if we don't know, let's find out. And so it's never too late.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go ahead and just get on into it from a trained professional's perspective. Tell us, what is the inner child and why is she important?
Yeah, so your inner child is the little you, right? So it's the little girl or little boy inside of you. In this case, we're talking about the little girl that you were growing up, that innocent young child before the world did its thing on us, did its number on us, trauma, life, whatever. Why it's important now as adult? Because And I like to teach this. A lot of times we're coming from the inner child. We're coming from a hurt place whenever people do things to us, right? So any hurt that we feel, any resentment, anytime somebody has betrayed us, a lot of times it's that inner child that's hurting. But now, as an adult, as a grown woman, you can protect your inner child. And so, how can you learn to reparent yourself and protect the inner child that's still there? And what does it to protect her.
I was gonna say, you were saying it's just like that inner child, man, oh man, like raise your hand if you're listening to this and you're just like, you know that when you said that place of hurt, how many of us are adults walking around just kind of like raw because we haven't addressed some of these things. And when we do like show up at we first of all, we have to be adults because we are adults. So we show up as an we look like adults, but then if someone doesn't communicate things the right way, or you get your feelings hurt, or you think everything is, or you think these negative things about yourself, or whatever, you know, it's not the adult you,
It's
right?
the emotionally immature version of self, which is that inner child. And a lot of us get stuck there. Sometimes with trauma, you can see where people are stuck there.
So, 'cause we know on like Instagram, I don't even know if this is even the thing anymore because I'm not on social media like that. But we know that for a while, like everything was trending about like inner child work, any inner healing, reparenting yourself. It sounds cute. It sounds cute, and if you can create a vibe or aesthetic with it, you'll get the likes, you'll get the snaps and all that. But for me, and I was pulled into that for a while, but for me, it's more than that. And I always say like, okay, at least the awareness is there, but a lot of times people will listen on to the next 15 minutes later.
A lot of people, like you said, it's very trendy. Self-care is trendy. It's ooh, you know, I can find a Black therapist. I can find somebody. And it's a great thing. Like, you can really find people to help you do the work. But a lot of people aren't really wanting to do the work.
But why? Like, what? Why? For me, when I was stuck, I was like, it's taken me years in this journey. Years.
Yes.
Okay. And I would say, oh, I want to do, or the therapist might give me advice, try the, da, da, da. I would say, okay, I'm going to do it, but then I don't do it.
Yeah. I think a lot of us don't want to feel the uncomfortableness of the emotions, right? We like to feel good. So a lot of people don't want to have to feel the anxiety or feel the sadness or feel the grieving of making some of the changes that need to be made.
Yeah.
You think about letting go of certain people, certain places, certain things that no longer serve you now that you are aware enough to know better. Right? And so it's really you against you when you know better, because it's like, okay, so what do we do to do better? We have to move different. People aren't ready to move different.
A lot of times it takes something majorly drastic. And I'm not sure if that's like just the way the brain is wired in some people, but it's like you see the problem coming at you. You know it's coming. You can see, like, you can see it, but it takes it actually happening to be like, oh damn, I should have did XYZ. And now it's even bigger than it might have been had you started to address it, right? Do you see that a lot?
I see it a lot. And one of the things I try to tell people is just learning how to trust yourself. We are learning how to reconnect with our intuition. That gut. Trust yourself. If it's not feeling right, stop trying to figure out why and make it all make sense. It's not going to always make sense. But you feel it. So you got to learn how to trust yourself. Trust your guidance. Like, trust that this doesn't feel right, so I need to move in another way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To start to move in that direction, I feel like like things didn't start to change for me, even though it took, like I said, years.
Yay.
I'm just being honest, you know, but I didn't really start to see those changes within myself until I started taking those actions. And some of those actions were hard and they were ugly and they were so uncomfortable and scary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, just codependencies, you know, because that's where that shadow self comes out. So we need to
talk about that.
Yes, it's all the things that nobody really knows about you. So it's like, all right, we got a little spending problem. You want to leave Joe Blow over here, but in order to leave him, you got to have your finances together. Let's talk about that month. Let's talk about money trauma. Let's talk about what we can do, because you're going to continue to stay in this cycle and be unhappy because now you codependent on somebody, you know? So like all of those things. So like, well, you know, let's never get in that kind of situation again. Like, how do we correct some of the things that we've been doing for years, like you said?
Yeah, them cycles be cycling, boy.
And they come back. And I tell people, I'm like, it's going to keep happening until you're ready.
Yes.
Sorry,
buddy. 100%. Because I can tell you, I can't even tell you how many cycles I done went through. And you would think that you would be tired, but I don't think that was the bottom for me. So I was just like, okay, this is uncomfortable and life might be bad for like a couple of months or something, but then it's just like, okay, I made it through. So I'm just gonna.
We're comfortable in dysfunction because we're used to it because of the family dynamic, right? Yeah. So a lot of times we've learned this, we've lived in it. And so as it keeps happening, it's like, oh, okay. Like I could deal with it. I like to tell people, just because you can deal with it doesn't mean you have to.
You better say that again.
Like, it doesn't mean it's okay. No.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's go and talk about this dysfunction. I'm not saying this is just a Black problem, but because I'm Black and you Black and we having a whole Black conversation, I don't care what the other folks do. Right. We're talking about Black folks right now. Okay. Yeah. And I feel like dysfunction is just so huge in our community.
It's so normalized too, like you said, that we don't even realize this is not normal.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think about chronic conflict, chronic issues, just communicating, lack of openness, sweeping stuff under the rug, right? Conflict, like hostility, arguing, yelling, tone of voice when you are trying to communicate something, right? a lot of us have as kids learned to be seen and not heard. So your emotions are never validated.
Yeah.
Right? They're not safe. It's not safe for you to really express yourself. And so we kind of shut down. You think about stress. A lot of, like, if you're stressed, if there are financial difficulties or some kind of stressors, substance use, you know, like things going unnoticed, whether it's drinking or drugs or depression, like mental health issues. So you have all of these things kind of working against you in this system, right? In our society, that have already made it harder for you if you are, you know, a Black person. And then you, on top of that, the stress that comes with it. And so we're always in survival mode. We're not really taking the time to be present.
So let's just talk about, generally speaking, like dysfunction in the home and in the family. Again, obviously, when you think about dysfunction as a kid growing up, like, I know personally speaking, dysfunction, that was just every day. Yeah. There was always, or it feels like, at least my memory, it's hard for me to find the good parts of life when I was a child. I don't know if that's normal or not. All I can see, more or less, there's some bits and pieces that were like, yeah, but all I can remember is the dysfunction. There was always a threat, like, to the safety. Like, for example, maybe something's going to be getting cut off. Yep. Maybe there's no food in the refrigerator. Your mama's trying to do all she can to pay the bills. But on top of that, because she's so, okay, you know where this is going. This could be man, woman, whatever. Because your parent is so stressed, they're dealing with systems that you don't understand as a child. All you can feel is like the emotions and the word, and also, and hear the words that are being said to you, you know, and see what's going on in your environment. And it's like, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's what you're learning to be quiet.
Yeah.
You're learning to not express yourself. Mm-hmm. You're learning that there is no safety in your emotions. You don't know how you're feeling because nobody is feeling. Nobody's just talking about it, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah.
And so there's this abandonment or neglect that we experience. And a lot of people will say, no, I wasn't neglected. Like, my parents did all the physical safety stuff, like provide a roof and food. I'm like, yeah, but did they provide you emotional support?
That part.
That is still neglect.
That part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying not to go into the whole mama thing. I know we're going to come back to that, but yeah, definitely. Because some people want to say that their abuse wasn't really abuse, because, like you said, I had these things, you know, I had everything I wanted. I got a pony for my birthday and, you know, da, da, da. But then emotionally, they're just not emotionally mature at all.
Never had the space to be, you know? So yeah, I like to break it down that much. Like, yeah, let's talk about how you express yourself. How did you learn? What did you do when you have feelings, when you were sad? Were you, you know, criticized for it? Were you called out for it? You were called a crybaby, like all of these things that happen in the household.
Mm. So what are some signs that your inner child, that she's just like, girl, please, I'm drowning over here. Please pay attention to me.
Absolutely. So you may find that it's hard for you to be in relationships with other people.
Why? Now, why is that? Or how does that look?
Yeah. So what that looks like is, a lot of times we either are picking partners who are like our parents. So they are also emotionally unavailable or immature, because that's what we're used to. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make it work, because as a child, you tried to make it work, right? Like, you did whatever you needed to do to be seen, heard, validated, loved, supported. And you start doing that every time it's time to connect with somebody.
Yeah.
Which creates where you have very just unhealthy attachment styles, right? Mm-hmm. And you're attracting a certain type of person, but wondering why it's not working.
Ooh, yes. You know? Yes, I do.
The red flags been flagging. We stay in too long. So then you get attached to the person, and it's hard to let go. And that will make us feel unsupported, make us have low self-esteem, make us feel unloved, make us feel difficult to love, make us feel like it's not okay to be yourself. It's not okay to express.
Do you feel like when we have those kind of relationships and we're getting those feelings, do you feel like we're maybe subconsciously accepting that because it obviously ties back into our childhood, but it's a comfort thing And so it's just acceptable.
Oh yeah, it's acceptable. It's all we know. And I have people that'll say, like, I never even knew that healthy was a thing. So somebody showed up and tried to love me differently, or until we got into therapy. Yeah, we think it's normal. We think it's normal. It's also comfortable because we're used to it. A lot of times people are comfortable being anxious or being in these kind of heightened emotions, right? It's exciting, it's happy. That, emotional roller coaster is up and down, it's
They
chaotic.
really care about me.
Yeah, it's fun, it's passionate, it's really not aligned at all
She
with
said
your
it's passion, it's spicy.
goal. We like that. The girls like that. Yeah, and we're like, okay, but that's maybe not how it should feel. Like those butterflies, is that anxiety? Like you should feel safe and peaceful with your person. Not all of that.
I'm wondering if that lack of excitement is in the mind, an unhealthy or an unhealed spirit is just like, this means this is boring,
Yes.
or
Yeah.
right, they're used to that rush of something, you know.
Yeah. And so sometimes, even if it's you, like how to learn how to be comfortable with yourself and learn how to deal with emotions, that's why a lot of people are so uncomfortable sitting still. So we avoid our feelings. We make ourselves too busy. We work a lot. We distract ourselves so we don't have to deal with self. Yeah.
So what are like some other signs that your inner child is like, girl, save me, help me?
Oh, some of the other signs could be like you have sleep issues, difficulty sleeping, difficulty being social, right? Like you maybe didn't feel safe to really show up. So it's like, well, how do I continue to build relationships with other people? Having some trust issues, academic issues, like finding it hard to focus or concentrate, right? If been in dysfunction all this time, it's like, I don't know what that looks like to focus. I don't know what it looks like to have time management. I don't know what it looks like to be stable. Some people bounced around, so it's like stability, routine. Like one thing I love to teach is the self-care routine. Let's get a routine for how you're taking care of yourself. And it has to obviously fit around like your responsibilities, but we got to make time for self. And people struggle with that so much. It's like, no, like the little girl inside of you needs to feel validated and feel seen and feel heard. Not speaking up for self is a big one. Using that throat chakra to express yourself, because that little girl was told to be quiet and hush. So I'm like, no, we need to speak up for ourselves. We need to learn how to say no. We need to be assertive. You need to advocate for yourself in the workplace, like wherever this is that you're having an issue.
Yeah, that one's definitely hard.
Oh yeah,
That was
that's a
definitely
big
hard.
one. The throat.
I was gonna ask you, like, what do you, since we're talking about this, because I feel like this is a challenge for a lot of Black women, at least the ones that I've talked to. What am I trying to ask? Like, being assertive, standing up for yourself, being able to speak up, being able to say no. You know
Yes.
what I mean? Which is very challenging for some of us. How do you work on that?
Yeah. So through practice, I like to do, we can role play. Like if there's a person and we're talking about some issue that you're having, what are you gonna say? Let's talk about what you would say. And we would kind of go back and forth and role play. Let me be the person. If you want to write it down first so that we make sure it's a healthy way of communicating versus just, harming the relationship. Like let's walk through it. Let's learn how to express ourselves and still be respectful of a person.
I feel like our voice, I feel like, well, I don't want to say everything's a conspiracy, but I just feel like the fact that like the voice and being able to speak up, I feel like it's kind of like, it's just like that oppression and us being oppressed and suppressed, and that voice, because it's so powerful, them trying to strip us down. Maybe this is something that's been carried down in our legacy.
Sure. So, like, just that intergenerational trauma definitely passed down from generation to generation.
Have you ever had a season in life where you just went nuts with credit cards? Listen, we all make financial mistakes, including me, and there is no shame in that. You are worthy of wealth and abundance, okay? So let me share a tool with you.
It's called Kickoff, the number one credit building app that I recommend for those of us that need to hit the financial reset button. The biggest thing I noticed with Kickoff right away was how easy it is to sign up, and you can do that literally right now from your phone and get started immediately. Users with credit under 600, just so you know, increased their credit by an average of 30 points in the first month. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/self-care today. That's Kickoff without the C. Getkickoff.com/self-care. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/self-care to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. I absolutely adore Osea Girl. Let me tell you why. So I remember those times when I was a little girl and I got to go to the beach in the summertime. The smell of the ocean air plus the sun on my skin, like all of it felt like a balm for my little spirit. And so with notes of lime, mandarin, cypress, grapefruit, and mango, Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil instantly takes me back to those sunny days because that smells like summer to me in a bottle, which instantly lifts my mood. But it's not just about its scent for me though. Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil is clinically proven to improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin soft and feeling more toned. It gives you that post-vacation glow, so even if you can't get away this summer as much as you'd like, your skin can still have the glow up it deserves. Osea is a clean, soothing part of my routine that I cannot go without. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SELFCARE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code SELFCARE for 10% off.
And if you think about slavery, you can say nothing. You can speak up for yourself, you know. Women not speaking up when it comes to men, like... Mm-hmm. All of those things, you were taught to listen to the man and do as he says, mm-hmm. regardless of whether it was healthy or not, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would say this is new generation stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're breaking a lot of generational patterns that a lot of our grandparents and maybe even our moms experienced. And now it's like, you're trying to navigate this journey by yourself. You don't really have a blueprint for how to be assertive and speak up for yourself because mm-hmm. it's new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of pressure there to like, well, how do I do it? How do I show up? How do I change this? Because this is not okay.
So what might be one step get started with using your voice more, especially when it's hard to do?
Absolutely. I will say boundaries.
Okay. Talk about it.
Let's talk about boundaries. Boundaries are so hard for us. I think a lot of times we are people pleasers. And so we don't like to disappoint. Mm-hmm. So work through the guilt that you feel when it comes to saying no to whoever it is. You're going to feel guilty because it's new mm-hmm. and because you're letting somebody down. Mm-hmm. And just know that the person, whoever you're letting down is just used to they're used to the dysfunction.
Yeah.
They're going to guilt trip you. They may make you feel guilty for it, but you have to do what's best for your mental health and mm-hmm. your well-being. So for example,
yeah.
Let's say you're married, right? Mm-hmm. You have household duties and responsibilities that both adults are living in this house, right?
Right, Ricky, yes.
You might feel like cooking every day. You might not feel like doing all the things in the house. Like, let's communicate. Hey, can you help me do certain things in the home? Because mm-hmm. I just don't have the energy to do it. I'm tired.
Even if you did.
Yeah, like, can we split this up? Can we talk about ways? Hey, I do AM with the kids, you do PM. Mm-hmm. Let's work on this together. Like, it shouldn't be like a one woman show.
Yeah.
So you can definitely start at home. I think a lot of people are just like, ugh, like, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm like, says who?
Yeah, absolutely. Like these structures that are just set up against women are just
yes,
make it make sense.
Yes, and ask for help. We don't like to ask for help.
That's true.
Woman complex, be complexing.
Right.
But understanding that asking for help is not a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strength because you need your energy to do other stuff. We cannot be burned out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to be having nervous breakdowns.
Mm.
Stress harms our bodies. We do not need to be out here, and we can't decompress after a long day.
Yeah.
The work never ends. The work will always be there in your personal life and your career, right? Don't let it consume you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know when to stop. You got to know when to rest. It's not going anywhere.
Say them same problems. They're going to be there, you know, the next day and the day after that.
Laundry and all the stuff. The house going to still need to be cleaned. Like, all of the stuff is going, it's not going nowhere.
Yeah.
So let's put some systems in place that make it work for you.
I love that. Definitely the systems. And I feel like systems are important, especially for those of us Black women that are healing.
Yes.
Because that system gives you a framework of function, I guess, since you're used to operating from a place of dysfunction, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. So a lot of times I'm just talking to people about time management.
Mm.
Let's look at your calendar. Let's make it make sense. It's not realistic.
Okay.
Look at your plate. What's on the plate?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, this plate is overflowing.
Yeah.
So we're looking at this plate. Let's prioritize this plate.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at what can come off this plate.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the first place. But that inner child that's trying to prove who they are in the world, that's that we got to let go of that.
Yes.
Yeah. We're not trying to prove nothing to nobody now. You're just trying to be you.
Yeah.
You know? Take me as I am.
Yes, man. Yeah.
And there's such a freedom there.
Mm-hmm.
So liberating. And I tell, you'll be like, yeah, no, can't do that. Can't put this on my plate. Ricky said, or your therapist said no to this. Like, use me as a scapegoat. It's okay.
I love that. Yeah. Because here we talk about like liberation, freedom.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it. We have to be able to lay claim to our time.
We have to. It's your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is your life. These are your days. Only you know how you feel too. Nobody knows the stress. Nobody knows what's really going on internally if you're not sharing it with anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's okay to say no. It's okay to set them boundaries.
Yeah.
Take some stuff off the plate. Like, one of the things that I do not do is you will not book me for anything on a Monday.
Nope.
Same. Period.
I don't do Mondays either.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I do too.
Yes. I was getting the Sunday blues. That's why I did that for myself. I would be like, just doom on Sunday. Like, oh,
really?
I was like, no, we don't have to do that.
No, you don't.
No.
That's the whole thing with claiming your power. And understand that you may not be in a place where you can just say, oh, I ain't working on Mondays because Dr. Ricky said, da da da. You may not be able to do that just yet.
Right.
But you can still lay claim to something close to that in the interim.
Yeah. And I'll give some examples. So I'll tell people you can take PTO.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Take all the time. Okay.
So you might take one day a week. You might take one day a month. You might go for a week, but use what you have. You know, if you can't afford to go on a vacation, do a staycation.
Yes.
But get away, disconnect from all the things so that you can recharge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it looks different for everybody. You might not go to the Four Seasons for a massage, but you need to go get a massage wherever because it releases the tension and the stress out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure the budget out because you're worth the investment. It's okay to invest in yourself.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, people are like, oh, it's so expensive. No, like, this is your health. This is you. Like, we got to do the things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Let's readjust some things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you said that for sure. Because a lot of times we're trying to, when we think about a budget, we're looking at areas, especially if money is a little tight. If you're in a season of tightness, You're in your season of God. I'm just waiting. We look for ways to take away from our stuff before the kids, before your mama and them, before whatever, paying a light bill. Well, we got to keep the lights on, but you know what I mean? Before all the other things, we'll be like, well, I don't have to get my hair done this time, this month. I don't have to get my nails done. No massage. I was going to get my braces tightened or whatever, but I'll just do it next month. I feel like we always like martyr ourselves.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the self-sacrifice. Like we sacrifice too much.
Yeah.
Overextended too much.
Yes.
Yeah. So realizing that you can tell your inner child. So one of the things I like to do is I ask people, what does your inner child need to hear? What did you need to hear as a little girl? Also ask how old the inner child is.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, because they can be different ages. So each development,
is there more than one child in there? Or?
The whole is you in there. So you think about developmental stages, right? Yeah. Elementary you. Some people can remember back to being a toddler. Adolescent you, young adult.
Mm-hmm.
So mine's very much like 13, 14, like rebel. Like that's who I'd be talking to. It wouldn't be like my 5 or 6 year old self. So know who you're talking to. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So would the questions you ask be different or like
they will be different, but you might need something different depending on how old you are.
Got you.
Yeah. So what does protection look like to you? Why aren't we protecting ourselves? Where does that even come from? And that could be materially. So like you just giving out money, you giving out stuff, you don't have boundaries. Personal boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Your emotional boundaries, people just disrespecting your emotions, your thoughts, your ideas, that's not okay. Sexual boundaries as women, we don't feel comfortable communicating our boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so we end up in a lot of uncomfortable situations. Why? Let's learn how to communicate what we need too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you need? What do we need to do to protect her now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure. And that doesn't mean that, because in my mind, setting those boundaries or speaking up, at least then it was just like, oh, it was just a bad thing to have the audacity.
Yeah.
Like I didn't feel like I had autonomy to do that.
Right.
And so a part of the healing process is just kind of like tapping into that. And reminding yourself that you do have permission to take ownership of your damn body. You do have permission to take up space or to voice your opinions or express your concerns or say, no, I'm not feeling this.
Yes. You know what I mean? And to really learn how to, you learn a new relationship with yourself, new relationship with your body, how to love your body, how to appreciate your body, how to look at it as a sacred, sacred. So and even when we talk about family dysfunction, your mama yelling at you now, your daddy trying to tell you what to do and control your life. I mean, I'm 30 plus now. You can't do that no more. Power back. I don't have to listen to you anymore.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about your business. They distracted too. It's like, you got some stuff I'm sure you need to work on.
Listen, I mean... since you said it, but it's like my parent, we're going through some things right now, or at least I feel like we are. I don't know what she's feeling. But when I try to see if we could work through things, like how you said, you got your own stuff to deal with, right? I realized, especially after some healing and therapy, all I can do is control me.
Yes.
I cannot control what someone else does. I said something along the lines of maybe we can figure out therapy or to work through whatever. She was like, no, I'm good. Da, 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 da. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
it.
That's it.
That's
but
it.
Yeah. Just being in relationship with someone that is not wanting to do the work or wanting that, that's the difference for me to where I'm just like, okay. I have to have a bigger boundary here.
Yes, you do. Right. You do. We have to learn how to. I think that helps in our forgiving process and like any resentments, anything that we have against parents, you get to see them as people. feed them for the what's passed down to them and what they may have not experienced, and so they didn't know what to do. But I get to make a choice on whether I continue to show up or not based on what I need.
Absolutely. So I know we talked about like inner child work. Did we talk about reparenting?
No.
So can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So when you want to reparent yourself, how you talk to yourself is huge. That inner voice. You might have had a parent that called you all kind of names, put you down. And so one of the ways that you reparent yourself is changing that inner voice, changing that dialogue. You know, I'm worthy of healthy relationships. I'm worthy of not being disrespected, not being put down. That is not okay. That was not healthy. And anybody that does the things that are disrespectful to me, I'm worthy of not being in connection with those people. That is not love. That is not how love should be expressed. Not healthy love, right? So being mindful of those things. I'm like, oh, well, we love the person. Well, that's, they may love you too, but not in a healthy way. We want to do better. We got to reparent ourselves. We got to learn some boundaries.
Yeah,
learn structure, but now we got to learn some structure.
So it sounds like that's the base. It's just that structure.
Yeah, we got to learn some structure. We got to learn some money. A lot of times it's like, oh, I didn't learn how to manage money. But now you can teach yourself. So reparenting is like teaching yourself. Don't use it as an excuse that we didn't learn A, B, or C. We can learn now.
Yeah.
And that's how you take your power back. That's how you go from being like a victim to like a conqueror, right? You want to take your power back.
So in this process, if someone is in this space of starting their healing journey, or they've been in it for a minute, but it still just feels chaotic and dysfunctional, how can we center our joy during those times?
Yeah, so I say you should find little things that bring you joy on a daily basis. So one of the biggest things I like to say is like you start your morning, give some time to yourself in the morning.
Yeah.
Set the tone for how you want your day to go. Before you tap in with anybody on your phone, social media, work, whoever, give yourself time to really generate some high vibrational energy, whether it's a playlist you need to play, some kind of motivational podcast, you know, play the podcast, whatever it is you need to do to get in a positive headspace every day. For me, I like my coffee. I'm a coffee girl. So I'm talking about little things that bring you joy. I love coffee. I collect coffee mugs.
Oh,
I got one of my coffee mugs every morning if I'm home. And that's part of my routine. It makes me happy. You know, aromatherapy is like the smallest of joys, like actually like being grateful for the sun rising in the morning, like little things, you know, finding your joy. You got to find the things that make you happy, that really just show you that life is, you know, life can be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. So I know that we need to wrap up, but I wanted to ask you about your program, Flourishing Minds, and find out also how someone can work with you, or if you have any programs or anything like that currently.
Absolutely. So something that I'm loving doing right now as a holistic therapist is hosting wellness retreats.
Tell us about them retreats, Ricky.
Yes. So I have wellness retreats that I host where we get together as Black women and we lean on each other. If you're looking for like a like-minded community, women that are working on healing, but you want to come and you want to relax and you want to disconnect, you want to kick it, you want to explore the culture of wherever we're going. I mean, you really want to learn some holistic practices, some self-care, some wellness. The retreats are like a great place to do that, right? So I have a couple going on this year. June 9th through the 15th, I'm taking a group to Costa Rica.
It's
called the Goddess Renewed Retreat. And we are tapping into our inner goddess. We are renewing our inner goddess. You know, what are the things that make us goddesses, divine feminine women? How do we bring her back home? How do we recharge her and refuel her so she can go out here in this world and be the goddess that she's meant to be? That's in Costa Rica this June. And I have Summer Solace. It's in the Georgia mountains. So it's here, not too far from Atlanta, like an hour from Atlanta. That one is going to be in the mountains. So it's a cabin vibe, you know, a cabin trip experience.
Yes.
Different terrain, but still a healing energy, right? And we'll do all of those things there. That's September 13th through the 15th. Mm-hmm. And I'm also doing one in Phoenix, Arizona. It's called the Desert Oasis. That's October 10th through the 13th. And we're going to do all of the stuff. First, Arizona is beautiful for...
It is. Absolutely.
So, you know, we're going to do all of the outdoorsy, fun, desert girl things that we like to do. Hot air balloons. We're going to do a lot of things that kind of help get us out of our comfort zones, still build community, and still come and get the wellness vibes that are there to receive.
I love that. So where can they go to find information about them retreats, especially one in Arizona, because that's close to me.
Yes. So everything is Therapy with Rikki. And Rikki is R-I-K-K-I. Instagram is Therapy with Rikki. Website is Therapy with Rikki. And there's also a YouTube channel as well. So everything is there. There's also information there about Flourishing Minds, which is my group practice here in Atlanta. So if you are looking for, if you're looking for therapy, you have to be in the state of Georgia. But if you're looking for wellness coaching, I do offer like holistic wellness coaching. So if you wanted to learn, you know, more about meditation, wellness, yoga, I'm a certified yoga teacher as well. We can do some wellness coaching that way too.
I love that. So make sure you go and check her out. I know that those retreats are
amazing. They're beautiful. Last year we went to Tulum, Bali, and Sedona. I'm doing Sedona again, but Sedona sold out. So I was like, okay, let me do Phoenix as well.
So you busy, but still taking care of yourself busy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Self-care is a lifestyle. So if y'all people can remember, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. So make sure that you go and check her out. Check out that retreat sound, or those retreats, I should say. Those sound absolutely amazing. This is something that you don't have to earn. It's just something that you automatically deserve, because you deserve to tap into those feelings of self-love, community, support, wellness, like all the things, peace, joy, fun.
Yes.
Check them retreats out. In this episode, we talked about all the things from centering your peace and your joy, using your voice, boundaries, your inner child, how she might, there might be several versions up in there because it is you know, just reparenting and tapping into those things. So I hope that you were able to take away some nuggets from today's episode. I certainly did. Any final thoughts before we wrap up, Rikki?
Wellness is a lifestyle. Self-care is a lifestyle. And you deserve it. Mm-hmm. You deserve to invest in your self-care and your wellness, y'all. And I mean, it'll make you a better person. Anything that you're doing to enhance yourself and your wellness makes you a better person.
Hey girl, so this is Future Bree tapping in. This episode that I had with Rikki was actually recorded several weeks ago, but I want to let you know that just like I had a super amazing conversation with her, I'm having other conversations with amazing Black women that you are going to continue hearing on the podcast. So just giving you a heads up that there will be another episode being released on Wednesday and an episode being released on Friday as well. Yes, your girl has been busy, because I believe in being in community with other Black women. And I believe in sharing this message of healing, blooming, abundance, rest, ease, breaking down these systems, living these lives of freedom and liberation and health and wellness and all these things that the world said is not for Black women. I'm just here to let you know that it is for Black women, okay? And we know this, and we are going to continue having these conversations. We're going to continue allowing ourselves to see what the possibilities are when we are operating as our full self. Like, we about this self-care life. We're about this community life. We're about all this stuff, okay? So that's why I continue having these conversations, okay? All right. So come back on Wednesday, because I'm actually going to be in conversation with my boo Yolanda over at Parenting Decolonized, and we're going to be talking about what it's like to be in community and building community, because I'm not sure if you know this, but
Your girl is going to be moving next year. I'm going to be living on a whole farm, okay? And I'm going to be in community with her and other Black women. So that's a whole thing. Conversation coming for another time. But make sure you come back on Wednesday. If you are a person that is in need of support, and but you just don't quite know how to build it, or you don't know what it looks like, or how it can be formed to be something that works for you and the other people in your village, okay? So I'll see you on Wednesday for the next episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. In the meantime, take care and just continue to get into that flow, girl, because you deserve it.